happy to welcome to the program legendary singer-songwriter who's been making music for more than 60 years now. Tom Rush brings his show right here to Bangor, to the Gracie Theater at Husson University, coming up on Friday night, accompanied by Matt Nakoa. And we had a chance to catch up with Tom earlier today and talk about his career and his upcoming show in Bangor. Hey, Tom, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, we're looking forward to the show at the Gracie Theater this Friday night, along with Berkeley alum Matt Nakoa. Should be a terrific show. Great to be back out performing again. I know your 60th anniversary celebration kind of got obscured by what was going on with COVID.
Yep, it did. I actually put out, I have a t-shirt. I announced my first annual farewell tour back in 2020. And then I had to put out a revised t-shirt, the pandemic edition, with 64 shows crossed off.
And you managed to be ahead of the curve here. You got COVID back in the pre-vax days.
I was an early adapter, yes, and I do not recommend it. It was not fun, but I didn't get hospitalized. I got off relatively easy. It was 2 weeks of feeling awful, but then it was over.
Well, glad to hear that. Yeah, I was late to it, but I was also lucky enough to have the vaccinations and get the good meds, the Paxlovid, so it was a fairly mild case for me, but still certainly something people need to be aware of. Are you asking people to mask up for your shows?
I'm doing whatever the venue requires, and I haven't heard anything about masks being required for the show, but nobody's going to mind if you want to wear one.
Right, absolutely. Well, let's talk about music in general here. And you came along, I think, at a very interesting time in the music biz. My theory is that folk music in many ways saved pop music from itself at a time when things had gone from Elvis and some of the early creators to the era of the teen idol, if you will.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I fell in love with rock and roll in the late 50s when I was a youngster. And then it just, the whole rock and roll thing was very curious to me because there were all these superstars who were totally different from one another. Pretty soon the industry started saying, okay, well, if this guy's a hit, let's find somebody just like him. But, you know, Fats Domino was nothing like the Everly Brothers, who was nothing like Chuck Berry, and on and on. But it only lasted a few years, like maybe 4 years, and it was gone. And, yeah, as you say, the teen idols took over.
What was it about those traditional folk songs that appealed to you as a young musician?
Well, I think it was partly that what was on the radio was so bad. And a lot of us just were looking around for some music that we actually liked, and came upon the folk stuff and the old blues guys, and they were real. You know, that what was on the radio was fake, and these people were real and singing about real things and some really good songs. So we got sucked into it.
Did you also, as I know a lot of your contemporaries did, take your idea of a work ethic from those blues musicians who wouldn't retire. They would continue to play and go out and perform and make music for as long as they were able to do it.
Well, I love doing shows. The travel has gotten to be a bit onerous these days. But I love the couple of hours I get to spend on stage playing songs I love for people. And it's so, you know, there were no shows for a while. And I started doing an online subscription series called Rockport Sundays.
Right, right.
Which, you know, sustained me through the pandemic. It gave me an audience to play for. But I learned that when you tell a joke to a TV camera, it doesn't laugh.
Yeah, it's not the same. Well, you talk about travel. What's the old saying? You don't get paid to play your music for an audience. That's the reward. You get paid for the buses and the hotel rooms.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly right. I've cut way back from what I, you know, there was 1 5-year period when I think I had 10 days off, not in a row. I was either recording or promoting or rehearsing or doing shows the rest of the time. These days I do about, I don't know, maybe 60 shows a year. The Gracie Theater, I'm very much looking forward to.
We're talking with Tom Rush here on Downtown. He'll be at the Gracie this Friday night. You came up in such a vibrant scene, the Boston folk scene of the 1960s. And you know, people talk about the Village in New York, but what was going on there in Boston was had to be pretty exciting at the time and really helped birth the whole folk music and singer-songwriter movement.
There were, in my mind, there were two different scenes. The Cambridge / Boston scene was very amateur in the positive sense of the term. People were playing music because they loved it, not because they wanted to become professionals. There were all kinds of, there was a typewriter repairman who was a brilliant mandolin player and high harmony singer. He was as good as they get, but he was a typewriter repairman. He didn't want to go on the road. There was a banjo playing psychopharmacologist. It was very popular for a variety of reasons. But in New York, my vision of New York is everybody, they wanted all to get matching shirts and go on the road. They were very professionally oriented.
You have always had such a great ear for terrific music that other people have written. One of the first to record songs by Joni Mitchell, Jackson Brown, James Taylor. Is that just the songwriter mentality, that you know a good song when you hear it?
I'm not sure what's going on, but yeah, I sometimes, well, there have been some major hits that I would not have picked, so I'm not infallible by any stretch. And there are also songs that I just love that I know better than to try to sing myself, because I would wreck them. But you know, when Joni Jackson and James came along, they were just irresistible. The songs were just so good. It's the goosebump thing. If you get goosebumps, it's a good song.
When you have been such an influence on other people as well, folks like James, Garth Brooks, who have cited you and others, and so many of your songs have become just an indelible part of the canon here, Circle Game and so many more. Obviously, when you're working on them, when you're writing them, you don't think about the legs that they'll have, but it has to be rewarding that people keep going back to that music.
Well, it is in on several levels. A band called the Walker Brothers had a hit with my song No Regrets that put my first two kids through college. I'm particularly fond of that version. I'm actually going in the studio in a few weeks to work on the next album, which I think the previous album, I've got to train myself not to say my last album because it could be misconstrued. My previous album, I think, was my best work so far. But I think that the songs that I've written for this next one are better. So we'll see. We'll see what people think. Just one man's opinion.
What's the state of music today from your perspective, Tom? We have so much technology involved in it, and like anything else, that can be a good tool, but can also get in the way of the recording process.
Well, it can do. It can do. I mean, when I started out, if you didn't have a record deal, you didn't exist. Mm. It was the record company that got you on the radio and got you written up in the papers and got you in the record stores and basically connected you with an audience. And without them, you were invisible. Now, any kid with a laptop can, you know, make music in her bedroom and put it up on the internet. And most of it's terrible, but some of it's really good. And there are bands filling stadiums that I've never heard of because they haven't been on the radio, they haven't been in the papers, and it's entirely an internet thing. The downside to the internet thing, in my mind, is that it basically distributes your music for free.
Right.
If For instance, if 1,000 people listen to one of my songs on Spotify, what do you think I should get? Do you think a penny would be too much?
Probably to the people at Spotify, yes.
Well, that's the pay scale at Spotify. Mm. 1,000 plays equals a penny.
Wow.
Which makes it tough to make a living.
Absolutely.
But I've always made my living on stage, and I can plan to continue doing that as long as I can do it.
Well, and isn't that that's really would seem to be the best way to carve out a long-lasting career, because relying on sales and airplay and things like that, that tends to be a lot more fickle than developing loyal fans and continuing to add to that fan base and people that will keep coming out to see your shows.
It's true. And the way I look at it, I get paid to have fun. It's a pretty cool situation.
I wanted to pass along a couple of hellos to Bruce Pratt, old compatriot of yours, sits in with us on Wednesday afternoons. He was hoping to be here and join in the interview today, but he's teaching a class at the University of Maine. But Bruce wanted to send along his regards.
Oh, say hi for me. Yeah,
I will absolutely do that. And his brother-in-law, Ted Hammett, wanted to know if you recall with any fondness the tuna on toast sandwiches that he made for you at Tommy's Lunch.
Oh, how could I forget?
Glad they made an impression there. Well, Tom, we're looking forward to the show this weekend, Friday night at the Gracie Theater at Husson University. We think of you as close to being a Mainer. You're close enough. New Hampshire's so nearby. We'll give you credit for that.
Well, I'm actually living in southern Maine these days.
Well, you are? Okay, well, then you're all set.
Just right down on the Piscataqua River.
Well, that's wonderful.
And I send people, by the way, I send people to timerush.com. If you go there and you click on shows, there'll be a drop-down menu that'll give you a link straight to this Gracie ticket page.
And also, you're doing a show in New Hampshire, Manchester, New Hampshire, at the Rex Theater on Saturday night.
That's correct. That is correct. I'm looking forward to that, too.
That's great. Well, Tom, thank you so much for making some time for us today, and hope you're out there making music and touring for a long, long time to come. And we look forward to hearing the new album as well.
Thanks so much.